Blog Talk Radio.
Gideon Wright with Dr. Bowles. Good afternoon, my radio listeners. Today, I have a topic on following food and social justice, and something that has caught my attention, I'm sure it must have caught yours as well, has to do with the Zika virus and the situation which is being reported out of Brazil. Well, today's topic, social justice and media and medicine, I guess I have reason to have a bone to pick with getting information that has a healthcare effect from media. Not your best thing to do. And unfortunately, it seems that governmental agencies control so much reporting of information that you have to be a bit skeptical when there's something stated like there's an epidemic in a country due to a mosquito that's now transmitting a certain virus. And then you do any kind of homework, you'll know that Zika virus was isolated in 1946 and that it can actually be obtained commercially. I don't know why one would want it unless you were working in a laboratory or doing some experimental work. There's been discussion that there were attempts to eradicate various mosquito-borne diseases, and in case you didn't know, one of the major in the world is malaria. That is a mosquito-borne disease. Zika, you don't hear much about, but mosquitoes transmit dengue fever, yellow fever, malaria, so it's not like the mosquito only transmits Zika. The big issue in Southeast United States was West Nile fever, which transmitted by mosquitoes, and actually the very same mosquito which they're saying can transmit Zika. So what makes the situation in Brazil so worthy of note? Well, one, the world, when you think about Mardi Gras, you think about Brazil and other countries, and my understanding is the Summer Olympic Games may also be in Brazil. So the world set up and took notice. Oh my goodness, here is a industrialized country reporting an astounding number of microcephalic children being born. And the first thing that came to my mind was not a mosquito. When you tell me that children in a region are being born with a defect, my question goes first to what was the pregnancy? Did the mother have adequate nutrition? As we have come to accept, spina bifida, which is the incomplete closure of the spine, a child is born and they're generally paralyzed. Some can have surgical reparation, and I suppose they can walk to some degree. But we found out increasing in the diet folic acid was a good guarantee against spina bifida in most pregnancies. We also learned that Agent Orange, for those of you who are historians for medicine, Agent Orange is the agent from Vietnam, was manufactured by Dow and Monsanto, known to be the most poisonous compound on earth, was generated as a herbicide. The understanding is the Army commissioned the production of this chemical to destroy all vegetation in the region, and 50 years, 60 years later, nothing grows in that soil. Well, it took 30 years for the United States government to admit that Agent Orange did, in fact, have the ability to cause a number of diseases in young recruits who were in the area, and that these, it's one of the first and only chemical drugs that I'm aware of that directly altered the sperm production in men such that their offspring could end up having a teratogenic, which means an adverse effect to the unborn due to something the parents have done or the environment in which the parents are in. And as of year 2000, there was acknowledgement that Agent Orange could give rise to sons born to Vietnamese or other military personnel exposed to Agent Orange, they could have a male child. These were men transmitting the defect that showed spina bifida. And they went further to identify what type of spina bifida they would accept as a Agent Orange-associated defect. But there have been any number of diseases now, 40 years later, that they're acknowledging could have become as a result of exposure of this toxic chemical with the target of killing plants. Why am I giving all of this historical background? Well, there's been a group, an Argentine group of physicians who are looking hard at what's being said in the media, and they have come up with a totally alternative reason for the number of children born in this one village, not widespread, but this one area of Brazil, with microcephaly. Now, microcephaly, for those who are not familiar, it is a tragic situation, and Zika and insecticides are not the only known causes. There are other reasons that a child can be born with misshapen, sometimes missing parts of the skull or missing parts of the brain. And in general, it's not genetic, although some genetic conditions can include that as one of its symptoms. It is generally an environmental or a teratogenic cause that the mother during her pregnancy experienced some extreme situation. And that's where the term teratogenic comes from. They can associate if a mother, unknowing that she's pregnant within the first 6 weeks, consumes large amounts of alcohol, this child will show the effects of the alcohol in its development. And we have a term, fetal alcohol syndrome. And it affects the facial and cranial parts of a developing child in those first 6 weeks, and the facies, as we call it, or the neonatal diagnoses have to do with the spacing of the eye, whether or not there's a fulvum in the upper lip, and so forth. And later in years, this offspring generally has impulsivity as a condition, meaning they make decisions erratically, they're easily influenced, then you have some learning disabilities. So it's lifelong consequences to what happens to a mother who is carrying a child, and that has always been known. Folklore or old wives' tales. I can remember having grandmothers and aunties tell my mother, you can't go to this movie or you can't watch this television program. You will mark the baby. I've heard chastisement of young men or men in the family. Don't treat her like that. She's pregnant. You don't want to mark the baby. So they didn't have the sophisticated scientific language to talk about teratogenic effects, but they knew that how the mother was treated and what environmental exposure she received would show or as an outcome on the baby. Well, the Argentine physician group collected some data, visited the site, and they have reported that Zika, although it is in the area, and some of the mothers did have the virus present, and even two of the children that had microcephaly that died showed signs of Zika virus present in the fetal tissue, there's been no correlation directly to support the epidemiology or the pandemic fears than have been cited by media and the whole concept of how much money U.S. will allocate to develop a Zika vaccine. And I'm saying you've had since 1946 to develop a vaccine. Why have you had 70 years, almost 100 years to come up with a vaccine? Is it now such a horrendous issue? Again, I'm very skeptical that that is more propaganda than reality. And looking at what the Argentine group came up with, they said in the area where the incidence of microcephaly increased markedly, there had also been the spraying of a particular insecticide. Now, this insecticide was designed in Japan. It's a Japanese insecticide. It is designed to deform, not kill, but deform the offspring of mosquitoes. when I read that, I shook my head. They're saying, okay, this is a compound, an insecticide, that is supposed to deform mosquitoes such that they cannot reproduce and therefore are not a hazard in transmitting diseases in an area. I put forth the thinking that an area was chosen to test this insecticide, and now we're seeing the aftermath of that testing. But rather than to state this, since this could be considered a global outrage, that humans are in fact put into the potential for being laboratory specimens, I put to you reason I can't adopt or understand or not argue vehemently against the Argentine physician group. I am aware of where humans are in fact a series of test elements. The most famous, and many of you, if you're, this is February, so I can talk about this, this is Black History, that for 30 years, the CDC and the Public Health Service conducted an experiment on Black people in Tuskegee, Alabama, where they wanted to see the progression of syphilis. Now, the treatment syphilis, known to cure the stage one of syphilis, in 1946 and 47, they knew the cure. But they carried on simply taking blood samples and watching the progression of the disease in live human beings for three generations simply so they could collect data. And they paid surrounding physicians not to administer the penicillin that they knew that could correct syphilis. And the university site was Tuskegee because they wanted to lull the Black Americans coming there into believing they were safe since they were in a historically Black university setting. Now, this is documented. This isn't speculative. Apologies have been made, no restitution that I know of ever been done. And when I traveled to Tuskegee about 2 years ago, there's a museum to this fact. They list the names of the people who died because the United States of America, yes, Center for Disease Control and Public Health Service wanted to collect data and not human beings. And this is not an isolated case. If you remember, Secretary Hillary Clinton made an apology to Puerto Rican women and Native American women who also had been subjected to a CDC or PHS decision to observe them as if they were laboratory specimens and not human beings. There has been a major outcry. I don't know what outcome. It sort of just died out of the media because, like I'm saying, media reports medicine. Everybody listens, but we don't wait for the truth. We wait for the sensation. There's a situation in North Carolina where someone sued, a Black female sued, because she had been sterilized by tubular ligation because in the time of her youth, North Carolina and 33 other states, not just North Carolina, I want you to know that this was the law of the land, that if a doctor in many of the states had the right, but in North Carolina, doctors, social workers, and teachers could make a recommendation that both male and female be sterilized if they were judged to be of substandard quality, meaning promiscuous. And there were also some mental, for instance, Down syndrome or some other mental situation qualified them to be arbitrarily sterilized on the say of someone else. Well, this particular litigation was heard, and the governor at the time felt that everyone, and I think it was several hundred thousand, I mean, 133,000 persons had been sterilized right on up into 1972 based on this particular adopted law in medicine in those states, received some kind of reformation, and that never happened, that the recommendation that the governor made in North Carolina was completely shut down by the Senate and the congressional groups in North Carolina, and I really don't know what has come of the young lady who made the news acknowledge that this was the law of the land. I guess I wouldn't have to tell you, a disproportionate amount of Black Americans were rendered sterile with this decision, given that there are many who are in political power who believe doggedly that Black Americans are of lower mentation and have less value than others. And this is certainly being reflected in Black Lives Matters and other groups that are now coming forth since 2013, 2014, and certainly prominent now in 2016. So, with all the noise about the Zika virus and all the big deal, let's make a vaccine, and all of the hand-waving, let's let the dust settle. And I'll tell you, in 1946, Zika virus was isolated, or at least accumulated, because I've seen evidence of it being in an inoculum bottle. So some who buy into the conspiracy theories say that bio-warfare is going on actively right now, and that you hear more of America doing finger pointing at Gaddafi and Saddam and others, saying they use mustard gas and they use other kinds of poisons. There are evidence that in the World Health Organization and NATO and some of the what sounds like philanthropic or altruistic organizations enter into other countries, and under the guise of vaccinating, they also are doing what they feel is a benevolent act of slowing the population of the earth. Now, I don't know what is right or wrong on that scale. I don't know enough global politics, but I do have a sense of social justice and human rights. And it really engages me mentally when I see the major machinery of public information slanting or coloring things to look a certain way. The point that the Argentine physicians brought up when they argued that Zika virus could not be the reason that so many of these people in Brazil giving birth to children with small heads and ill-formed brains and possibly a lifetime of problem, they state that the chemical larvicide intended, now this is what just drives it home to me, to produce malformations in mosquitoes. It's a chemical designed to create malformations in mosquitoes, were being applied for 18 months in the areas that the women subsequently had a sharp incidence of microcephalic birth. This same group stated they examined pregnancy reports, and thousands of pregnant women were exposed, and I guess the mother chemical is pyropropylene. I didn't do a lot of research on it, but I'll certainly do so. And this particular compound developed in Japan. So the Japanese, of course, state it's perfectly safe, but no one has come forth with data to show that they even examined its effect on any fetus, whether it's a rat fetus, a mouse fetus, and certainly not on a female human fetus. If it's designed to do malformations in mosquitoes, I can't see how they can give you any assurance that the malformations that you're studying in the mosquito may have a parallel developmental function in a human. Anyone who's taken embryology know that we talk about the progression of species through the various stages until it gets to the final stage of primate. And if there were a stage within fetal development of a human that is anything close to whatever it is they are affecting in the mosquito, then certainly any scientist can speculate that a malformation can occur. Maybe you can't necessarily predict the malformation, and unfortunately, you have to see a cluster of the outcomes to make any kind of educated or scientific guess. And I think that's what happened, that in these low-income areas where they were trying this particular insecticide out, they unfortunately, as some would say, the collateral damage is that there was a rather reproductive group in this area, and over 18 months, it affected sufficient numbers of human females that it began to get reported. But just to summarize, the Argentine group points out that in other countries affected with Zika, and there are other countries, don't think that it is unique to Brazil. And, of course, they even in the media told you there's some in Florida and possibly in Louisiana, and any place that the mosquito, which transmits the particular virus, can survive, it can transmit. And for those of you who don't know how all this works, if I, just to be very personal, were to travel and get infected, a mosquito bites me and I get inoculated with Zika, and then I come back to Florida, I may have a headache, I don't feel well, but in 5 or 6 days, I'm okay. And I go with a group of friends on a camping trip, and we all get bitten by mosquitoes that are natural to that location. Here's the problem. A mosquito biting me, now that I have been exposed to Zika, and then bites my friend, will transmit Zika to my friend. And consequently, it doesn't require that the mosquito travels from its natural habitat in Brazil, Africa, or wherever. It suffices that an infected person travels, because the mosquito feeding on the infected person now becomes a transmitter of that particular virus. That's how malaria is transmitted. That's how dengue fever and so forth. So with all of our world traveling, and particularly if you have a high incidence of Zika in a resort area, then the people who are vacationing, the snowbirds, if you like, will easily bring it home. And the native mosquito to home can then become the transmitter of the virus. So that's how it spreads. There's no mystery in that. But this group points out that there are countries that are affected by Zika, such as the French Polynesia, and they had outbreak of Zika in 2014 without an increase in microcephalic babies. Ah, wait a minute. I thought Zika did that. Didn't show up in that group. So prior to the past year, Brazil reported about 150 cases of microcephalic annually. But since October, the country has reported 5,079 suspected cases. That's too many to be ignored. That's 50 times the original reporting. And furthermore, there's been no scientific direct linkage to Zika. It's hard to say Zika caused something if you can't say cause and effect. And there's not been any cause and effect studies. They saw two children, in my understanding, who died after the diagnosis of microcephalic, and they found some Zika in the blood and the brain of these children. All that says is the mother was likely infected. It doesn't say that that infection gave rise to the stillbirth or to the early death of these children. Science goes out of its way, usually, to follow scientific methods. And when we try to identify cause and effect, it's after some very controlled factors. And when the media releases information and you get the president of a country jumping on it and people talking about vaccines and getting all the hysteria, it smacks of cover-up to me. We know how to do cause and effect. There, you know, the whole institution of science teaches scientific method. And when we go off on sensationalized comments and unfounded theories, it does more to undermine the credibility of the scientific institutions willing to stand on that. I don't know the effects of Zika. I've never studied it. I know viral diseases can be devastating. Herpes can be devastating on a pregnancy. Hepatitis B can be devastating on a pregnancy. There are quite a number of things that are devastating on a pregnancy. And we can say it with some confidence because we've done the proper scientific observations, interventions, and so forth. So, is Zika causing microcephalic problems in Brazil? Is the mosquito now becoming the mighty enemy on another disease? I don't know. But I don't think anyone does based on data. And if we're going to run around and put a lot of money in developing a vaccine, I'd ask, why did it take you so long? How can this disease or this condition have been around and just now it's a problem? It begs us to question, does it matter who gets sick as to how important that particular sickness is? If it were isolated in 1946, my understanding from somewhere in, on the continent of Africa, and that it exists was not enough motivation to develop a vaccine in the 60s, the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 2000s, why is it so urgent now? I don't have any answers for you. I have a lot of questions. I would think that for an international concern, especially since Brazil has become a rather popular resort area, I've even considered to go and visit Brazil. I would think they'd want good, hard facts. And if, in fact, this insecticide contributed to the problems that they're seeing, that they own it and say, this is what happened, this is what is going on, and here's how we've changed. It did say in the articles that I read that the Brazilian officials in the southern state of Rio Grande do Sul have suspended the use of this particular insecticide, and they said they did this to allay the concerns. I would wonder how widespread outside of the southern state of Rio Grande do Sul have they sprayed it? Was that a specific area for a specific reason? Did it have to do with the demographics or the income levels? Because if they need to eradicate mosquitoes in that region, I would suspect they need to eradicate mosquitoes in other regions. And why use a compound meant to cause malformation when most insecticides are meant to kill? That if I spray a wasp, I don't want to transform and have a malformation in that wasp. I want it dead. So just the whole concept of using an insecticide with the intent of creating malformations in that insect smacks of research. And if it were, in fact, a research project and they sprayed it in the presence of humans and since seemed to have created an environmental hazard for pregnant humans, then I think that should be explored and not covered up. I'm curious now if this affected animals. If you want to say the mosquito caused it, do we have microcephalic cats and microcephalic dogs in that region? Just a question. I don't know the answer, but I thank you very much for joining me today, and I hope that you've been inspired to go and find out more about the Zika virus and perhaps even to look more closely at what insecticides are being sprayed in your area. I know in Louisiana we have a statewide spraying, and they come around and they shoot it off a truck or they spray it on off the highway. We need to be aware of what's going on in our environment. And we need to make whomever is sanctioning it accountable. So this is Getting It Right with Dr. Bowles. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, Take care.